ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन: इन दिस एज ऑफ कली देर इज नो रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल अदर देन द चैंटिंग ऑफ द होली नेम विच इज द एसेंस ऑफ ऑल वेदिक हिम्स. दिस इज द परपोर्ट ऑफ ऑल स्क्रिप्चर्स. परपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद: The principles of the Parampara system were strictly honored in previous ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga. But in the present age, Kali Yuga, people neglect the importance of the system of Shrauta Parampara or receiving knowledge by disciplic succession. In this age, people are prepared to argue that they can understand that which is beyond their limited knowledge and perception through so-called scientific observations and experiments, not knowing that actual truth comes down to man from authorities. This argumentative attitude is against the Vedic principles, and it is very difficult for one who adopts it to understand that the holy name of Krishna is as good as Krishna himself. Since Krishna and his holy name are identical, the holy name is eternally pure and beyond material contamination. It is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a transcendental vibration. The holy name is completely different from material sound as confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Golokera Premadhana Harinama Sankirtana. The transcendental vibration of Harinam Sankirtan is imported from the spiritual world. Thus, although materialists who are addicted to experimental knowledge and the so-called scientific method cannot place their faith in chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is a fact that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra offenselessly, one can be freed from all subtle and gross material conditions. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha, which means without anxiety. In the material world, everything is full of anxiety, Kuntha. Whereas in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, everything is free from anxiety. Therefore, those who are afflicted by a combination of anxieties cannot understand the Hare Krishna Mantra, which is free from all anxiety. In the present age, the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only process that is in a transcendental position beyond material contamination. Since the holy name can deliver a conditioned soul, it is explained here to be Sarva Mantra Sar, the essence of all Vedic hymns. A name that represents an object of this material world may be subjected to arguments and experimental knowledge. But in the absolute world, a name and its owner, the fame and the famous, are identical. And similarly, the qualities, pastimes, and everything else pertaining to the absolute are also absolute. Although Mayavadis profess monism, they differentiate between the holy name of the Supreme Lord and the Lord himself. For this offense of Namaparad, they gradually glide down from their exalted position of Brahmagyan, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10-32, Aruhya Krichrena Param Padam Tataha Patanti Ado Anadrita Yusmad Angreha. Although by severe austerities they rise to the exalted position of Brahmagyan, they nevertheless fall down due to imperfect knowledge of the absolute truth. Although they profess to understand the Vedic mantra, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma, Chandogya Upanishad 3.14.1, which means everything is Brahman, they are unable to understand that the holy name is also Brahman. If they regularly chant the Maha Mantra, however, they can be relieved from this misconception. Unless one properly takes shelter of the holy name, he cannot be relieved from the offensive stage in chanting the holy name. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankhum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाच इमां प्रसूप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिल शक्तिधर स्वधाम्नान्यांश्च हस्तचरण श्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्. Hare Krishna. So, it's a great honor and a pleasure to be here back again at the Bhaktivedanta Manor after a year, and very grateful for the opportunity to be able to render some service to the devotees here. Bhaktivedanta Manor is like a second home now. You know, when I come here, I feel, whenever I come to London, I feel like I'm at home and everything is so familiar. In fact, the fragrance just as you enter into the manor here just reminds you of so many nice memories from the last visit. So it's definitely a great privilege and honor, and I'm extremely grateful for this opportunity to render some service. Also seek blessing from all the Vaishnavas, especially all the senior devotees present here, to be able to speak on this subject matter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So last couple of days we have been preparing our consciousness for the upcoming Gaur Purnima festivals, the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. And on just 2 days back, Jai Krishna Prabhu spoke on the glories of Advaita Acharya. And then Doyal Buldev Prabhu, I think that's what his name is, he spoke on the glories of Lord Nityananda. And we are preparing our consciousness by dwelling our consciousness on the compassion and the contribution of the Panchatattva to our lives as practitioners, devotees on this planet. Had it not been for them, we wouldn't be sitting here chanting Hare Krishna, we wouldn't be participating in the Krishna consciousness movement. Had it not been for the Panchatattva, had it not been for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, there is a very popular song which was sung by our acharyas, Jadi Gaur na hoi to, tabe ki hoi to, kamone dhoritam de. You know, if Gauranga wouldn't have come, what would have happened of me? How would I be able to survive in my life? Radhar Mahima, Prema Rosho Sima, Radhar Mahima, the greatness of Sri Radha, Prema Rasa Sima, the greatness of her love for Krishna, Jogate Jana to ke. How would the world know? How would the world know the greatness of the devotion, the dedication and the love of Srimati Radharani to the lotus feet of Krishna unless Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have come here? And last year probably, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, he wrote a song in glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, Jadi Prabhupada na hoi to, tabhi ki hoi to, kemone dhoritam de. If Srila Prabhupada was not there, what would have happened of us? And how would we be able to sustain our lives? Mahaprabhur mahima, prema rasa sima, jagate jana toke. How would the world come to know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about the Panchatattva, unless Srila Prabhupada would come and preach the Krishna consciousness movement on behalf of the Panchatattva? So when we talk about Panchatattva, all we can do is bow our lowly heads at the dust particles of the lotus feet of His Divine Grace and fill our hearts with unlimited amounts of gratitude that it was His coming that gave us the opportunity to understand the Panchatattva, understand the grace of the Panchatattva, and practice the process of Krishna consciousness. There has never been, and I don't mind saying that there will never be, an ambassador of the spiritual world like His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Such contributions did He make to our lives and the world, contributions which are absolutely unparalleled. In Sanskrit, they say, na bhuto na bhavishyati, never in the past, nor shall someone like that be in the future. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I come from India. I come from an Indian family. I come from a Hindu family. I was born, raised with Hindu culture. I heard so many stories about Hinduism. I heard so many stories about so many figures in Hinduism. And Krishna and Balaram were very popular personalities. In fact, we had a ghee brand called Krishna Balaram Ghee. You know, on a ghee can, there was Krishna Balaram's picture called Krishna Balaram Ghee. You know, in India, there are so many shops which are named after Krishna. Krishna Saris, Keshav Mithais, Balaram Samosas. It's very popular. Giriraj Sweets. We all grew up hearing all of these things. You know, it was absolutely common. And we also heard about Vrindavan. We heard about Mathura. We heard about Dwarka. We heard about Kashi. We heard about Jagannath Puri. We heard about Kedarnath, Badrinath, all of these holy places. And when I first came to the Krishna consciousness movement, and I heard the two names, Nimai, Nitai, they sounded strange to me. And I come from India. Except for the small tract of land called Bengal, and people in Bengal, and most Bengalis also did not know about it. You know, many Bengalis also did not know about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And here I was coming and sitting and hearing these strange names called Nimai and Nitai. And I heard about something called as Mayapur. Well, we always lived in Mayapur. Bombay is Mayapur. It is the land of Maya. We didn't have to go to Mayapur to be able to get the blessings of Nimai Nitai and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. We always thought, in fact, there was a very popular magazine when I was a child. It was called Mayapuri, which was all about Bollywood and Bombay, you know. So we always read Mayapuri. But we never even knew what Mayapur was, you know. Quite stunning, quite amazing. One student recently came to our temple. And he was coming a couple of times, and after a few times, he said, these two people with their hands raised up, is it that the teacher has punished them like this? You know when teachers punish and you stand in school with your hands raised up, why are they always holding their hands up? I said, relax, come for a Chaitanya Charitamrita class and probably some things will get clearer. Just recently, myself and one brahmachari, we were standing in the corridor of our temple. And in the courtyard, we have all these dioramas. And there's a diorama of the Panchatattva, all the five members of the Panchatattva with their arms raised. And a teacher brought a group of students to show these dioramas. And this teacher's telling the students. So, the center man who's with the hands upraised is the earth element. The one on the left is the water element. The one on the extreme left is fire. Then this other gentleman standing there is air, and the one on the right is ether or space. This is pancha, five. Because the title there was pancha tattva. So he said, this is the five things, the five tattvas of existence. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. These represent these five things. And when all five things are under our control, then we realize that we are the divine. You know? We are the divine, and this is what panchatattva means. So the brahmachari who was standing next to me, he said, I want to punch her tattva off by becoming panchatattva, you know. He's telling me, he's standing right next to me, I'm going to act as panchatattva by giving her a punch. I said, relax, you know, take it easy, don't be so quick in panchatattva, punching her off. And I was really thinking, you know, if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, these were the speculations that would exist about panchatattva. That the five elements of material existence, the five senses, and ultimately you are the one divine within. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for having revealed the most glorious scripture. You know, the most glorious scripture, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is such an incredible thesis on devotion, which is such an incredible thesis on devotional relationships. It's an incredible book. So we are reading from this particular chapter. You know, Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. And this verse is a part of a story, a pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu trying to deliver an impersonalist Mayavadi sannyasi whose name was Prakashananda Saraswati. The story begins by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being in Varanasi, Banaras.
And there were two devotees of Lord Chaitanya there who were extremely devoted to the Lord. They loved the Lord. Their names? Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra. You know, even these names sound so funny. So many names at the time, you just get totally confused and bewildered. And when people come to the Krishna consciousness movement, two things are very bewildering to them. Names and hairstyles. You know, every person looks the same. It's a very round face and every name is the same. And in India, at least they know that Bengalis have a surname Das. So when they find 150 Dasas, they're thinking, my God, you're all from Bengal and belonging to one family or something. We have one gentleman from Cambridge. Name is Kasra. That's right. Your name is Kasra. Yeah. And last night we were talking and I just couldn't get his name right. And he kept calling me by my name. So I asked him, for the first time we are meeting, how did you get my name right? He said, I practiced it. Someone told the name and I kept saying it several times to be able to get the name right. Chaitanya Charitamrita, full of names. And sometimes they seem to be so alien, but their characters and their personalities are amazing. And isn't it therefore they say, what's in there in a name? You know, what's in the name of a person? What's there truly is in the character of a person. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra, oh, how they loved Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as they were staying there, suddenly they realized that there was a group of sannyasis, 60,000 of them, headed by Prakashananda Saraswati. 60,000 sannyasis, all of whom were against what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. And they were not quiet. If you're against someone, keep quiet, it's fine. But if you're against someone and you start talking about it and publicly broadcasting it and criticizing someone, my God, what a mess we create for other people. You know, if we can't go along with someone, fine. If we can't agree to someone's opinion, fine. If we cannot subscribe to someone's way of thinking and behaving and acting, fine. Why do we have to go on a public rampage of trying to just pull out all the animosity within our hearts and just putting it forth, publicly broadcasting it? Imagine Lord Chaitanya with only two followers there. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra were the only two followers in Varanasi. And the 60,000 people with their head Prakashananda Saraswati growing on a public broadcast of how Chaitanya is just a sentimental fool, dancing on the streets with raising his hands. You know, only sentimental people do things like that, he said. Chanting and dancing, singing, playing drums and swooning around and falling and fainting. What is sentimental, emotional stuff going on here in Varanasi? My God, there was a strong lobby, very strong. And they were all publicly broadcasting it. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra didn't like it. People who are of substance hate criticism. People who are shallow in their life, love gossip and criticism. The sign of spiritual progress and spiritual advancement is that we don't love to hear the criticism of others. You know, we don't take pleasure. Sometimes for services and in order to run a society, we have to say things and we have to hear things if that's our role that we need to play. Otherwise, in general, devotees are known for not taking pleasure, juice, in hearing criticism. Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra were very upset. Very upset. Okay, you don't agree, fine. You don't go along, fine. You don't like it, fine. Why go on a public rampage? Why go? And thank God there was no internet. Thank God, when the Panchatattva were there 500 years back, there was no internet. You can imagine if the internet was there. Just within 20 seconds, Chaitanya swoons in ecstasy and falls apart. What a sentimental guy. And then everyone starts commenting. Likes, dislikes, likes, dislike, likes, dislike. Facebook. You know? Quite a thing, you know? Thank God there was no internet. They were very upset, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, about the criticism that was happening. You know, the conditioned soul just has a tendency to criticize. Tendency to criticize others. That's conditioned mentality. And there's four reasons why we criticize. If a Mayavadi, atheist criticize devotees, understandable. Agnostics criticize devotees, understandable. Impersonalists criticize devotees, understandable. Materialists and hedonists criticize devotees, understandable. But when devotees criticize devotees, how does one understand that? A movement of love, a movement of appreciation, a movement of care. How does one understand that? You know? But when devotees criticize other devotees, there's only four reasons why we do that. First, is that there's no sufficient engagement. There's not enough to do. When there's not enough to do, then all we could do is sit and talk about others. You know? I don't know how many Gujaratis here, probably some of those who speak Gujarati would appreciate. You know, two Gujarati ladies were talking to each other and slandering a third Gujarati lady. Slandering them. I mean, left, right, center between them. They were just criticizing her like. And after 1 hour of doing this, one lady says to other in Gujarati, "Ave java de na apde su." You know, leave it. What do we have to do with all? I mean, all this. Why do we need to get into all? After 1 hour of saying it all, I mean, leave it. We have something to do. Let's go back to our work. Why do it? You know, one reason why we get into it so strongly because there's nothing substantial to do. Devotees who have tremendous responsibility, devotees who have tremendous service to offer. Devotees who are trying to evolve in their spiritual practice don't have time to criticize. The second reason why we find devotees sometimes criticize is because they are dissatisfied and disgruntled. When we are not dealt with properly, when we are the victim of someone's abuse, we have to deal with it obviously. But when we are disgruntled and dissatisfied, it comes forth in the form of criticism. Of the society, criticism about a temple, criticism about the managers, criticism about other Vaishnavas, criticism about everything, everyone and everything under the sun, to such an extent that we don't spare the most magnanimous Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And then it reaches to the Panchatattva. My God, disgruntled, you know, comes forth in the form of criticism. The third reason why we criticize is because of a superiority complex. Pride. When we have pride in our hearts, like this Mayavadi sannyasis here. All of these Mayavadi sannyasis of Varanasi were so proud about themselves, about their sense control, about their being the followers of Shripad Shankaracharya, about their self-restraint, about their self-realization, about their Brahman realization, that they thought, who is this fellow? A 24-year young man, dressed in saffron, he wears a little dhoti and a little chador around his uttariya, around his torso, and jumps and dances and sings. What an emotional fool this man is. You know? Superiority complex makes us think of people, look at people, and talk about people in a condescending way. If we are talking about anyone in a condescending way, there's only one disease within there, superiority complex. How can we talk about someone in a condescending way unless we feel ourselves superior to them and are proud about that superiority? That's what these Mayavadi sannyasis were. Talking about Lord Chaitanya in such a condescending way, calling him an emotional fool, you know. And the last thing that drives criticism, probably there are people who are engaged sufficiently with responsibility. They have sufficient to do. And probably people are not even disgruntled. And probably they don't have that superiority complex. But the last thing that drives people to criticize is envy. You know? When one just cannot take the prosperity of another. One just cannot take that someone else is better. Someone else is doing it right. My God. In this case, however, it wasn't being disgruntled. It wasn't that they didn't have nothing to do. And not that they were envious. They were just proud. They were just proud. All the followers of Prakashananda Saraswati, including himself, they were just proud and had a superiority complex. And they were talking about Lord Chaitanya in such a loose way. My goodness. You know, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. You know what? Anything material is driven by the law of gravity. And the tendency of the law of gravity is to always drag things down. Drag everything material down, drag our spiritual principles down, drag our consciousness down, drag our commitments down. That's material. Material means to just drag it down, law of gravity. Spiritual law of gravity is to always pull things up, you know, always to pull things up. And therefore the words used are also fall down and uplift. If you carefully see, anything material is fall down, everything goes down. And when we talk about spiritual principles, we talk of upliftment, upliftment of our consciousness. The tongue just gets so habituated to gossip, to criticize. These words go by the principle of gravity and make us fall down. When Lord Chaitanya came to Kuliagram, one of the brahmanas came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "My dear Lord, I have blasphemed a devotee and criticized him like anything. What should I do?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Just do two things. With the same tongue, chant the holy names and glorify that devotee profusely." The tongue has become habituated and conditioned to vibrate material sound vibrations. Lifetime after lifetime, for millions of lifetimes, there has been a conditioning that this little flap of flesh wiggling within the tongue, within the mouth, left and right, has got accustomed to vibrate material sound vibration. And therefore Srila Prabhupada taught us, Krishna consciousness is about vibrating spiritual sound vibrations. And there are two kinds of spiritual sound vibrations: glorifying Bhagavan and glorifying Bhakta. Glorifying Bhagavan is through the chanting of his holy name, and glorifying Bhakta is by glorifying the qualities of that devotee. You know. And thus we find Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra were extremely upset that Prakashananda Saraswati and all the sannyasis were criticizing Lord Chaitanya. So they came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said to Lord Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, all of them are criticizing you. Why don't you do something about it?" You know. And you know what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did? Smiled. He simply smiled. And Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya taught us how to handle personal criticism. When we are criticized and we are the object of someone's criticism, if it's not too much of an issue that we can't just handle it, smile. It increases our face value, you know. A smile is a curve. You know, it's a curve. It goes like this, year to year. Smile is a curve that sets a lot of problems straight. Curves don't generally make things straight. But this is a curve that can sort a lot of problems straight. You know? Lord Chaitanya simply smiled. "They're criticizing me. Fine." I'm not saying we should always do it, because we are not Lord Chaitanya. We are not Lord Chaitanya. When sometimes someone keeps giving it to us every now and then, God, go and smile. It's too much. Sometimes smiling is hard, you know. Most times smiling is hard, because we are not Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, we have to learn how to handle criticism on a personal note as well. And there are four ways how to handle criticism. When it comes to us personally, there are four ways to handle it. The first is to think that maybe there is some element of truth in what this person is saying. When I'm being criticized, then the first thing that comes as a response to my mind is, maybe there is some truth to what this person is saying. And if there is some truth to what this person is saying, let me work upon it. His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj was sitting in a temple and chanting Hare Krishna, chanting his rounds. And one Western person, just a new person, comes to the temple and he comes and he says, "Swamiji, I don't think you're chanting it right." My God. You go to Swamiji and tell Swamiji, "I don't think you're chanting it right." You know what, when devotees chant Hare Krishna, no? You see how they go in states of samadhi. You know, there's many nice states of samadhi. And when someone comes to bring you out of that state of samadhi, the response, You think I'm sleeping? Me? Come on. So Swarup Maharaj, when he heard this devotee, not even a devotee, a new person saying, Swamiji, I think you should chant it right. Maybe there is some element of truth to it, he said. And the result was a book. The Japa Reform book. You know. The second way to think is, even if there is no element of truth in it, doesn't matter. I think it's just my karma coming back to me for my purification. Even if there's no element of truth in what that person is saying when it's criticizing me, it's just something that I need to be purified by. In India, there used to be a cigarette brand called Wills. A very popular brand called Wills cigarettes. And the advert for that cigarette would be a guy and a girl holding hands. I don't know what the connection is. How is a cigarette brand advertised like that? But a guy and a girl holding hands, and the guy holding the cigarette in his hand and puffing some smoke out, you know. And the line that would be written on that advert was, made for each other. Then I got the sense of the advert. Made for each other mean the girl and the guy made for each other, and the guy and the cigarette made for each other. Wills. That was what it meant, made for each other. I'll tell you something. Devotee life is so amazing. Krishna always sends someone in our life, and we are just made for each other. Just made for each other. That person is just meant to give it to us, you know. Just can never appreciate. No matter what we do. No matter what we do in our Krishna consciousness, no matter what amount of service, no matter what amount of devotional advancement, no matter what amount of lectures and book distribution we do, made for each other. It came as a package deal in Krishna consciousness. As a package deal. When everyone is so nice and so appreciative and so kind and everything going on, there is just one novelty item. Made for us. Cannot take it. And such a person is a purification machine. We have water purifiers, we have food purifiers, we have air purifiers. Such a person is a consciousness purifying machine, you know. And therefore the second way one handles criticism, coming from people like these many times, even if there's no element of truth to it after having seen, introspected well, then we know. He's come to give me my share of karma. One person came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, these devotees, I do so much. They just cannot appreciate what I do. They just keep talking ill to me, you know. Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, you do your level best. Probably in your last life you spoke ill to them. And they are coming to give it back to you, you know. Take it in that spirit. The third way to handle such criticism is to think that even if there's no element of truth to it, maybe Krishna's telling me what not to do. I'm not doing it. But Krishna's warning me again and again what not to do, because probably he knows that I'm susceptible to doing this. When I'm susceptible to doing this, it has to be repeated again and again to me, hammered on me again and again. So probably Krishna knows that I'm susceptible to doing things this way. So he's giving me a signal, and through him, he's criticizing. I'm not doing it, but he's telling me what not to do. And the fourth way is to just ignore it and neglect it. You know what? There are hundreds and thousands of devotees who like us, who appreciate us, who are kind to us, who are loving to us. Beyond them all, our spiritual masters love us. Beyond them all, Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas love us. Krishna loves us. And you know what the mentality could be? Not to focus on what we have and to focus on what we don't. Sometimes our minds just get so carried away and so focused on trying to prove it to that one person who's not dealing with us rightly, that we forget to capitalize on the assets that have been given to us. The grace of so many wonderful souls, you know. So many wonderful souls. And therefore, we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simply smiled. Big deal, you know, they're criticizing. Fine. But the third thing in the story of Prakashananda Saraswati this Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra felt compassionate for these people. They wanted to correct them so that they also become devotees. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also felt compassion. Because the two of them felt compassion for these 60,000 sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also felt compassion. And because the two of them came and requested Lord Chaitanya do something about it, although Lord Chaitanya was not at all concerned about doing anything, and he simply smiled, he thought he should do something, not for himself, but for those two people, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, who felt such compassion for Prakashananda Saraswati and his 60,000 followers. You know something? The compassion of devotees and the prayers of devotees is our hope. Because they feel compassionate for us, the Lord feels compassionate for us, and the Lord changes His plan. Can you imagine who can make the Lord change His plan? No one can make the Lord change His plan. In fact, they say if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. He starts laughing. He's going to do this. Oh my God, it's going to start snowing. He thinks he's going to go for his job. You know, car can't move. If you want to make Krishna laugh, they say, just tell Him your plans. You know, who can make God change His plan? A devotee who has a compassionate heart. Srila Prabhupada's compassionate heart has made the Lord change His plan for all of us. If it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada's compassion, we would probably be doing something else out there. We wouldn't be able to practice Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna unless it was for Srila Prabhupada and His compassion. He felt that compassion, and a devotee praying for us, the greatest treasure, you know, greatest treasure. So therefore we live in a community of devotees where we act, behave and deal with devotees in such a way that the devotees offer their sincere prayers for us and the Lord changes His plan. Oh, I can see in His heart all of those past memories and conditionings lurking, and I can see in His heart the struggle to fight against it. But this person is praying for him and the Lord changes His plan. I want to help him get over it. You know, there was one senior sannyasi in our movement, and one grihastha, who was his disciple who was living in Singapore, called up the sannyasi saying, Maharaj, my daughter is born and you know, she's really going through a tough phase, she may die. Can you please pray for her? Oh, the sannyasi kept praying for her. And after that they moved to India. And one day the sannyasi, after 10 years, the daughter is 10 years old now, the sannyasi asked this man, how is your daughter? Is she better now? I said, Maharaj, what better now? What do you mean better now? I said, no, you told me that, you know, she's very sick and she may die and you asked me to pray. And I'm praying till today. That sannyasi prayed for that girl for 10 years every single day, because the father did not get back and tell his guru that my daughter's better. You know, kept praying for 10 years. And I'm thinking, my God, having a compassionate devotee offer that prayer, Hare Krishna, what a treasure. The Lord definitely changes the plan, you know. As Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra offered this prayer to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya decided, I must do something about it. Mayavadis? Go and meet the Mayavadis? Wasn't he the man who said, wasn't he the personality who always said, Mayavadi bhashya shunile hoi sarvanash? Wasn't it the person who said that Mayavadi Krishna aparadhi, that Mayavadis are the offenders to Lord Krishna? Can you imagine? The prayer of a devotee makes the Lord change the way he thinks. I want to go meet these people. How would I go? How do I go to them? How will Lord Chaitanya go? Go straight to the Mayavadis and confront Prakashananda head on. What do you think, man? You're talking all of this thing, all this Mayavad philosophy, all junk. What are you talking? All this is illusion. What Shankaracharya told is all bogus. Would you do that? Or would you devise a plan? Just make a plan. Go around somehow or the other, get them. Lord Chaitanya is omnipotent. As soon as he thought, I want to deliver them, He inspired one of the Brahmanas in Kashyap, Varanasi. And suddenly a Brahmana, just as he thought, came up there to Lord Chaitanya and said, I am inviting all of these people home for prasad. Would you also like to join? People invite sannyasis home for prasad. Srila Prabhupada used to say that. Srila Prabhupada said, just look at us. I am a Swami and people are calling me home for prasad, you know. And they are offering me such fantastic food. And then they are offering me a donation. And then they are saying, sorry Swamiji, if we made any offense, please forgive us, huh? After feeding and making a donation. And Prabhupada said, just see. People are all going and paying to eat. And we are being paid to eat. Srila Prabhupada said, people are all going to restaurants and are paying to eat. And here we are being paid to eat. You know, sannyasis and sadhus and brahmacharis, anywhere who wears this cloth saffron in India, na, eating is such a big deal at homes then. People keep inviting you to home for prasadam. And so said, I have invited Prakashananda's followers for prasad. Would you mind coming? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who would have never thought about it that way, said, okay, I'll come. I'll come and eat at your place. How Lord Krishna comes and arranges things to be is quite amusing. He arranged for this Brahman to come and invite him home for prasad to deal with Prakashananda Saraswati. And how Lord Krishna comes in the life of a devotee to fulfill his desire is quite amazing. I don't know if you ever stuck with a problem in the city, where you were in the countryside, and suddenly you start feeling your heartbeat is going up. You start seeing, you know, losing eyesight, and start getting nauseated and are about to faint. And the only one thing you could do is call up the ambulance. And you have the number of the ambulance, the emergency calling services. You call the ambulance. And when we call the ambulance, we are standing there waiting for the help to come. From which direction the ambulance would come, we have no idea. We could be standing there, we have done our job of calling. Now how Krishna comes, how the ambulance comes and from where it comes, no idea. You know what we do when we chant Hare Krishna? We dial an emergency number. Krishna, I'm in trouble. My consciousness is in trouble. I'm stuck here. Please send protection, relief services, an ambulance. Where it comes from, how it comes from, is absolutely unknown to us, but it comes. When Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra wanted that the sannyasis be delivered, how it was to happen, they didn't know. And the Lord arranged a Brahmana to come and invited him for prasadam. In Bombay, we had a gentleman who was doing his chartered accountancy, you know. And this man, I studied for every year and attempted 10 times. 10 years he was trying to clear his exams and he failed. Every single year, you know. He practiced dhairya. Very patiently he kept trying. 10 years. And I told him one day, my dear friend, after 10 years of trying it hard, doesn't it dawn on you that probably you need to look at something else? He took it seriously. But after failing his exams and not having a degree, he didn't know what to do. He tried several times. Finally, he went to take a job. And he came for the job interview. He had his Kanti Mala, and he was an initiated devotee. And he sat. So the guy who was interviewing said, so what's your name? So he said, my name is whatever. You know, he said his name. He said, how can you say that? How can you say that that's your name? He said, sir, come on. My certificate's in front of you. My application form is in front of you. What do you mean? He said, how can you say that this is your name? So he said, well, you tell me what my name is then. You know? And this guy said, your name should be Das. I said, what do you mean? He said, you don't feel ashamed that you put this in your neck, these tulsi beads, and you call yourself by your regular name? You should be calling yourself as Das. He said, okay, now answer a question. What is the position of a soul vis-a-vis God? This guy's thinking, I've come for a job interview or a Hare Krishna interview. And now that he saw that this man's interested, he said, This gentleman, this is a real story. He said, Jiver Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, because he had said Das. So he said, okay, that's good. So he said, now my next question to you is, what is Maya? And this guy's a philosopher. You know, he's a guy from UP, a philosopher. He read the whole, he started preaching to this guy, the HR man, talking to him and all of this. And then after a while, as the interview was over, the HR man pulled his kantimala out and said, I am a devotee going to Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir Juhu. I am an aspiring disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I have been praying to the Lord that I want some association at office. All around, I'm surrounded by all of these wild guys. I want some association in office. And here you are. He said, even if you don't have the skill part, you don't worry. I'll train you up. You are selected. Go. He pulled him on for the job. And now he's working with him. Working with him. And every now and then, as both of their work is done through the day, the boss, the HR man, he works under him, calls him in the office, closes the door, and they discuss Krishna Katha, boss and the subordinate, you know. And this devotee was sharing his realization and was saying, said, months I was thinking, what will I do? I don't have a degree, I don't have a job, and I want to serve Krishna through my work. And how Krishna comes, through whom he comes, from where will the ambulance come to rescue a person? God knows, you know. This Brahmana came and said, please come to our place for prasad. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the home of this Brahmana, he went there. All of these sannyasis, glowing, you know, glowing with their saffron robes and with their piety and goodness, sitting up there with their dandas, ekadandas, all of them sitting on this raised dais. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and sat at a place where everyone washed their feet. And Srila Prabhupada comments in his commentary that every time in India, sannyasis would walk bare feet. So when they would walk into a home or a temple, they would wash their feet and walk in because it's dusty. He sat there in a very lowly place where everyone washed their feet, sitting down there in a very humble way. And it's not that he acted like that, he felt like that. He felt that I'm no one compared to them. It's very easy to act humble, you know. When times come, then all our humility is exposed. He sat there. Like just a very lowly person just sat there. And therefore, there's an amazing point there. Preaching is not about competence and knowledge of Shastra, which he did later. Preaching is about character. Prakashanand Saraswati and his followers were so much attracted by the character, affected by the humility of Lord Chaitanya, by the character of Lord Chaitanya. He did not come and start shouting that you're Mayavadis. He didn't start criticizing them. He didn't start looking down upon them in a judgmental way. He just came and sat there. You know, Srila Prabhupada, what humility. Once at the airport, Srila Prabhupada was sitting with all the devotees, and one, the temple president came and announced, so, all the devotees to this side, please. And Srila Prabhupada got up and started moving to that side. And then the temple president said, Prabhupada, not you, Prabhupada, the devotees. Prabhupada said, so, I'm not a devotee. And he just walked apart. He didn't think that, you know, I am the acharya of this movement. I am the leader of this society. Character, humility, so powerful, can change a hard heart. Impersonalism makes the heart hard. No amount of philosophy, no amount of debate, no amount of argument can change a person the way the character of a devotee can. You know, many times preaching becomes simply, you know, endless arguments and debates and fights and counter arguments. That's not preaching. That's only one aspect of preaching. Therefore, character of sacrifice and humility is so powerful, extremely powerful. Can transform the heart, a humble life, my God, can just absolutely change people's perspective of looking at the Hare Krishna devotees. Imagine someone who follows such a high philosophy and lives such a low life of being judgmental, critical, you know, always just smashing people, beating people down by words, you know. Mundane wranglings of the mind, constantly just into it. Where is transformation of anyone, you know?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and sat there very humbly. Even in a movie, what touches our hearts? Power, grandeur, display of greatness. It does impress us. Even in a movie, which is not real, what touches our hearts is sacrifice, humility. Even in a movie, we know they are acting it. Still people cry. People have tears in their eyes. And in India, people cry and then people have to say, please take a handkerchief, you know, wipe it. Sometimes they disturb you in the movie. You know, they'll it's a disturbance in the movie while they're crying. All of you can look at it. If you've seen a movie, whether it's a Bollywood, a Hollywood, a Tollywood, whatever movie it is, you know, what really reaches, even in acting, just straight acting, is character, not competence. And therefore, we see Lord Chaitanya revealing the strategy to preach. Not just being competent and knowing all the verses right and the analogies right and the stories right and the humor right and everything is in place and I'm all prepared and my notes are all right there and I'm going to give it to them, you know. Doesn't work. Just doesn't work. What reaches people is the character of the person who's speaking. A character of the person who's approaching them. And therefore we learn from the story character versus competence. And Lord Chaitanya showed both. It's not that competence is not required, but character is greater. And then, Lord Chaitanya suddenly did something that was incredibly amazing. To Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya showed the form of Lord Ram during the Mahaprakash Leela. He revealed his form as Ram and said to Murari, look at yourself. And Murari saw he had a tail. And he realized he was Hanuman. To Ramananda Rai, he showed his Shadbhuja form, his six-armed form. But if that were the form that he was to show to Prakashananda Saraswati, Prakashananda Saraswati didn't bother about a form. For him, the absolute was formless, light. Lord Chaitanya was a strategic preacher. He knew what worked. He knew what to give to which person. If he would have shown the Shadbhuja form to Prakashananda Saraswati, what is this all about? If you would have shown his form of Ram, what would it be all about? Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya is Yogeshwar. Suddenly, he started glowing. Started radiating his Brahma Jyoti effulgence. Because that is what these people could connect to. Strategic preaching means to see what people can connect to. It's very easy to just be rigid and fanatic. Lord Chaitanya was not rigid and fanatic. Did he go there and say, hey, I'm the Supreme Personality of God. Look at my Shadbhuja form. 2 hour holding flute, 2 bow and arm. Look at this. Commando. Come on, surrender. Drop bow down to me. He didn't do that. He understood what was needed for that man to change. It was the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. That is all they could connect to. And he revealed this. Such an effulgence. Prakashananda was affected by Lord Chaitanya's humility and attracted by what he was always obsessed by, the Brahma Jyoti. So now, Prakashananda was affected and he was also attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My God, when he saw Prabhupada was once walking on the airport and one guy, security official said, he's glowing. Can you see? He's glowing. You know, sometimes great souls can manifest that opulence because of the Lord's blessings to attract people to them. You know, but all of us can glow without a single ray coming out. Don't go to the mirror and start thinking, my God, you know, or start putting some facials on saying, now all this cosmetics on, we start glowing. Satisfaction and contentment in devotional service makes a Vaishnava glow. As such a thing that radiates on the face of a person, anyone who comes across and in that aura around feels, wow, what is this, you know? What is this? Greatest preaching, the most powerful preaching, is to be a happy, satisfied, fulfilled, contented sadhaka. And what it does to others is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What happy devotees can do for preaching, not thousands of lectures cannot do it. You know, Lord Chaitanya standing there, strategic preacher, attracted him to his Brahma Jyoti effulgence. They were so attracted. And Srila Prabhupada was such a strategic preacher. He knew what was the need of the hour.
He was knew what was the need. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, all of these hippies, you know, sitting there and asking Srila Prabhupada for the flower kids. So, Swamiji, what is the spiritual world like? And Srila Prabhupada very coolly said, the spiritual world, it is like an ocean of LSD. Ocean of LSD? What a horrible comparison. If you look at it from a material point of view, what a horrible comparison that you compare the spiritual world to an ocean of LSD. If any of the previous acharyas were to hear this, would they be thinking, what is that disciple, you know, coming in this parampara speaking that the spiritual world is an ocean of LSD? That is what they could relate to. That was their conception of bliss. That was their conception of joy. And Srila Prabhupada knew how to speak to them and how to reach to them based on the conceptions that they had, not the conceptions that we have. It's very easy to pass to people the conceptions we have. It needs compassion. It needs expertise. And it needs empowerment to see how to give what we have in a way that people can relate to it. You know, here was Lord Chaitanya, strategic preacher. They were so attracted. My God, Prakashanand Saraswati and others were so attracted to this Brahmajyoti effulgence. And then Prakashanand Saraswati came up to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave him a hand. Swamiji, don't sit here. This is not the place where you're supposed to sit. You're a sannyasi like us, and I have heard that you are a sannyasi from the Bharati Sampradaya, the Bharati Parampara. Please come and sit alongside with us. Don't sit there. And he immediately offered a hand to bring Lord Chaitanya out. And you know something? There's an amazing lesson there. We, based on how we deal with people, bring the worst or the best out of them. We are responsible. We are always, at all times, responsible to bring the best side or the worst side of people by how we treat them, how we deal with them, how we behave with them. And everyone has a good and bad side. Everyone has the best and the worst side. But we become responsible. Why do we say that this devotee doesn't behave rightly, or this devotee says this, or this devotee doesn't treat me nicely? We are responsible, you know. We are responsible. And imagine a community of devotees where everyone tries to deal with each other so nicely and bring the best out of people. What a community that is. With everyone having similar mindsets to bring the best out of each other. Lord Chaitanya dealt with him in a certain way and brought the best side of Prakashananda Saraswati, where he went and said to Lord Chaitanya, please don't sit here, Swamiji. This is not a place for you to sit. Imagine if Lord Chaitanya would have come and said, you Mayavadi sitting there, you talk on the Vedanta Sutra, get lost, man. I'm going to tell you what the Vedanta Sutra is. You know what he would have said? You emotional fool, just get out of here. You're going around with these foolish people swooning in the so-called ecstasy and falling and fainting on the ground like sentimentalists. Just get out of here. You know? He brought the best out of it. That's preaching. To bring the best side of people out. And you know, to make people feel and know that they can be like this. People out there are just going through so much. And they don't even know that the best side is within them. Everywhere around, people are discouraging others, envious of others, negative about others, critical about others. And you just feel so depressed in the company of such people. And when we come to devotees, the same things happen. What's the difference? You know, when they come here, by dealing with them out of affection and encouragement, and love and care, we can bring the best out of them. And these people start feeling, oh, I can be like this. You know, I can be like this. And then of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held the hand, Prakashananda held the hand of Lord Chaitanya. And that is where his Agyata Sukriti began. You know, he got the opportunity to serve. And as he served Lord Chaitanya, the next step that came forth was appreciation. He started appreciating Lord Chaitanya and said, you're like Narayan. You look like Narayan, my dear Sanyasiji, Swamiji. And then he asked, all said and done, I have one question. This is how Lord Chaitanya brought him to ask a question. This is what it took to bring Prakashan and Saraswati to the stage to ask a question. Swamiji, I have a question for you. You're a sannyasi, aren't you? Why do you go around chanting these names of Krishna like a sentimental person? And then Lord Chaitanya said, Guru Mora Murkha Jani Korila Shasan. My Guru said I was a fool. And I don't think I could understand Vedanta the way you understood it. So my Guru told me, you chant the holy name. And you know something? I started chanting. And something happened. I just started swooning. And he said to Prakashananda, believe me. You please believe me. I don't do it deliberately. You read, there's a verses there. I don't do it deliberately. It just happens to me. He said, and when it happened to me, I went and asked my guru, Shuno shuno, kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tara bol, jopite jopite man hoile pagol. Kiba mantra, what mantra did he give me? And what is the power of that mantra? When I chant, I feel I'm just going crazy and I'm just feeling just ecstatic symptoms. I don't know what the power is. And he said, my guru told me, please continue, my dear child. By this upajye bhav, this is how your love for Krishna will be invoked. Go ahead. And Srila Prabhupada's comment in this purport is amazing. He says, it's not about chanting or not chanting. Success in spiritual life is about obedience to the spiritual master and pleasing the spiritual master. It's not about chanting, it's not about not chanting, it's not about book distribution or lectures or deity worship or anything. Nothing really. Srila Prabhupada, quoting Lord Chaitanya's example, says, the crux is obedience to the spiritual master. And then that bhav comes out to be, when one chants because the spiritual master wants, when one serves because the spiritual master wants, then those spiritual activities have the potential to bring in that bhava, that love for Krishna, you know. And then of course finally, he was even convinced about that, and Prakashananda Saraswati said, but I have another question. All of that said and done, why don't you study the Vedanta? And then that is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally showed his competence. He started talking about the Vedanta Sutra. Now philosophy came. Now a lecture came. And now he started talking about how the Sharirika Bhashya is not right. And Prakashananda was a changed man. As soon as Lord Chaitanya had spoken about the Vedanta, he had first prepared him, not given him a straight blow. He had prepared him all through this story. And then when the philosophy came, he was saying, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yes, 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 yes. Preaching means to make a person say, yes, 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 sir, you're right. Yes, sir, that makes sense. Yes, yes, yeah. Very good, nice, amazing, amazing, amazing. A lot of preparation went in to make that person say a yes, you know. And then Prakashananda and all his 60,000 followers became Vaishnav sannyasis from Lord Chaitanya. And now they joined him in the dancing and the chanting of the holy names, as is mentioned in this particular chapter, Lord Chaitanya in his five preachers. Therefore, to conclude, there are these 10 aspects we can learn from this story, which we have heard this morning. The first is criticism, you know, how criticism is just the tendency of the conditioned soul. And we heard, when we have nothing to do, when we are disgruntled, have a superiority complex, or we are envious, we blurt things out and criticize. That's what the Mayavadi sannyasis did. The second thing we heard was handling personal criticism. Lord Chaitanya smiled, you know, to see that, okay, there's some element of truth. If there's no element of truth, it's my karma. Or Krishna's telling me what not to do. It's neglected. The third thing that we learned from this story this morning was how the compassion and the prayers of a devotee can change the Lord's plan. Chandrasekhar and Tapans Mishra's prayers to Lord Chaitanya was the cause of the deliverance of Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers. The fourth thing we heard was the Lord is omnipotent, and how he'll work out a deliverance is quite amusing. He knew, and he had this Brahman invite him for prasad, and that's how he worked out the deliverance of Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers. The fifth thing we learned was character versus competence. You know, Lord Chaitanya proved that it's not competence that can change people's heart. It is a character of humility that can change people's heart. The sixth thing we heard this morning was strategic preaching. We have to know what people can connect to. Lord Chaitanya exhibited his Brahma Jyoti and his effulgence because he knew that is what they would appreciate and connect to. The seventh thing we heard was we can draw the best or the worst out of people by our dealings. Lord Chaitanya, by his dealings, brought the best out of Prakashananda Saraswati. The eighth thing that we spoke about this morning was the service. Service changes a person and makes one more appreciative. Prakashananda gave a hand to Lord Chaitanya, and that's where his Agyata Sukriti began. The ninth thing we heard was, Lord Chaitanya said, it's not about this or that, it's about obedience to the spiritual master. Guru mora murkha dekhai korila shasan. And conclusively, the tenth thing we heard was, that is when preaching, in terms of speaking the philosophy, works. He had prepared him all the while, And then the final thing was Vedanta Sutra. And there was transformation. And that is what Srila Prabhupada was. And by the example of Srila Prabhupada, and by going through these incredible stories in this book, all we can do is learn more and more and more, and evolve in our understanding what spiritual life is, what preaching is, and try to learn the sensitivities of how to do it while we try to administer it to others. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.